God, we thank you for that, the beauty that you shine everywhere. God, we thank you for your glory, and we thank you that we get to see you. We get to experience you. We get to behold you. You don't stand behind a veil. You're not hidden away. We thank you that we're a part of you. You're a part of us. We thank you for the intimacy that we get to walk in with you, the relationship we get to walk in with you, the revelation that you've provided about who you are, that we're going to grow in our understanding of you and our experience with you. And God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Today, here, now, would you open up our minds to just understand more clearly, to see truth, to embrace it more fully, Lord? Because we need you. Every day, every moment, we need you in the fullness of who you are, the vastness, how big, how massive, how mighty, and yet how intimate and close. God, we want all of who you are. So in all of our minds, if there's things that are there, God, that tend to cloud us being able to see you clearly, would you continue the work that you've begun in all of our hearts, in all of our minds, to continue to wash our minds with your truth, to free us up from lies and deception, and just to be yours, to submit to who you created us to be, and to walk out in freedom and wholeness, to walk out in kingdom, to bring your kingdom here, wherever we are, wherever we go, and whatever relationships, God, that we're in each day, that kingdom would be present, that the peace that you've placed in our hearts, the wholeness that you've given us, that you've provided for us, that God, that would impact those around us, that would impact the atmosphere wherever we are. God, we ask that it would continue to infiltrate throughout the world, your peace, your love, your joy, that your spirit would continue to flow. And we just declare that over our city here right now. That Salt Lake City, that your truth, that your spirit would infiltrate, would go beyond our walls and the walls of all the other churches that are here, but Lord God, out to the streets and out to people, and you would give us people in our lives that you choose for us to love. You choose for us to be present in their lives, to show you, to shine your love, to shine your goodness. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. We're going to start in Philippians if you have a Bible. Philippians is one of my favorite books, and just lately I've been camping out there. I think it's really cool how, even though we're all family, my mom chose to bring communion today. Aaron chose a bunch of songs about Jesus, and I'm teaching about Jesus, and we didn't talk. Even though we're family, we didn't, like, mention, like, what we're all doing and just how God functions with that. And really, I mean, Jesus is the point, right? And so I don't think we can talk about him enough, that we can come to the table enough, you know, and just partake of communion, that we can understand and look into scripture enough. There's always more that we can gain from that. And so I want to talk about his name. And so I was sitting and last Sunday I talked about unity and walking in unity, and I kind of skipped over this section in Philippians 2. And then went on to another section, but we're going to go back to that section. So, the example of Jesus Christ. Hi, David. So, Philippians 2, verse 6 through 11 said, he existed in the form of God, yet he gave no thoughts to seizing equality with God as his supreme prize. Instead, he emptied himself of his outward glory by reducing himself to the form of a lowly servant. He became a human. He humbled himself and became vulnerable, choosing to be revealed as a man, and was obedient. He was a perfect example even in his death. a criminal's death by crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God exalted him and multiplied his greatness. He has now been given the greatest of all names. The authority of the name of Jesus causes every knee to bow in reverence. Everything and everyone will one day submit to his name, in the heavenly realm, in the earthly realm, and in the demonic realm. And every tongue will proclaim in every language, Jesus Christ is Lord Yahweh, bringing glory and honor to God, his Father. We conclude prayers with, in Jesus' name, amen, right? And it's kind of become, in a lot of ways, a catchphrase, right, that we use. And I want to dig deeper into the authority and the power of his name, because it's more than just an ending to a prayer, right? And so when I was looking up here, and I looked up in Strong's about just what does name, that word, name, mean. So I wanted to read this to you. It says, it's the manifestation or the revelation of someone's character. It's distinguishing them from all others. Praying in the name of Jesus means to pray as directed or authorized by him, bringing revelation that flows out of being in his presence. According to Hebrew notions, a name is inseparable from the person to whom it belongs. It's something of his essence. So when we pray in the name of Jesus, when we declare things in his name, when we stand in the authority that we've been given as his children, we are placing ourselves, we're saying, I am in Jesus, and because of his authority, that's coming through me, right? So it's not just I'm placing it in his name, it's because we have to do that because it's in the name of Jesus. It's saying I'm placing myself right now, understanding my position, where I am, that I am in Christ, that he is in me, and he has given me authority to declare health and wholeness, healing, freedom over people's lives. And so being ambassadors, being children, he says that all power and authority that I've been given, he gives to us, right? And I think we pray, but I can only speak about myself, I want to learn how to pray in more authority of who he created me to be because I'm in him. Right? And that idea of humility. Humility is not thinking ourselves lowly. It's knowing who we are in light of Christ and who he is. Right? I know who I am because I know who he is. And because of that, I know the power and authority that I have. And so when I speak about him, when I declare him, when I pray, that it's not that it's like, oh gosh, I hope this works, so I need to end it with, in the name of Jesus, amen. Just kind of like put that little like seal there. I know who I am and who I stand in. Right? And so I wanted to look at some scriptures, and I was thinking about the name of Jesus, and when we say it, there are a lot of people, there's a scripture, the men who were praying over the man who is demon-possessed, and he's like, I know who Jesus is, I know who Paul is, I don't know who you are, and it attacked them, because they were just trying to evoke that name as though, like, if I say that, that's like a magic thing, but they didn't know who they were. And that's the thing that I really believe, that especially in the time and the way that the world is, but I mean, God's wanted it throughout history, but for believers to really step into the authority and the power that he's created them to have because of who God is in us, not just because of who we are, right? I'm nothing without him. Without him, I'm lowly. I am nothing. But in him, I'm more than a conqueror. And so I was thinking about, I remember several times having dreams, spiritual dreams, and there being, this strong presence, demonic presence. And I remember in the dreams, I was just trying to say the name Jesus, right? I was just trying to get the name Jesus. I don't know if anybody else has ever had those dreams, but I remember being like frozen. And oftentimes it would happen like in Uganda. But I remember like 10 years ago being there in Uganda, and I just felt something. And I just remember needing to say Jesus. And it wasn't because like just the word Jesus, it's because I knew who that person was. And it was like an invitation of saying, like, Jesus, I need you here, right? Though he's with me, right? And though I'm clothed in him, yes. But for me to be like, I know who you are, and you're more powerful than this. It has nothing to do with the word. There's a lot of people named Jesus in the world. Jesus, like that word, it's not about that. It's about who we're talking about when we bring it. And I remember in those moments, finally, when Jesus came out of my mouth, boom, things broke, right? And so as we are declaring things and we are praying and we are speaking out truth, to know who we are in Him is so vital. So I want to flip to Luke. Luke 10, 17 through 19. And Jesus is talking to His disciples. And, you know, what amazes me about the Bible is that, you know, I've been reading it since I was a small child, you know. As long as I could be reading, I've been memorizing, you know, Scripture. My parents always, you know, obey your mother and father. You know, those beautiful scriptures that they use, you know, to help you to be obedient. But, like, I've been memorizing Scripture and, like, studying the Bible my whole life, and it's still, it floors me how I can get to a section like, gosh, I never noticed that. You know, it's like it's alive and breathing, and I learn more about who He is, you know, every time. So it says the 70 returned. So after He had sent them out, the 70 missionaries returned to Jesus. So verse 17 through 19 in Luke 10. And it says, when the 70 missionaries returned to Jesus, they were ecstatic with joy, telling Him, Lord, even the demons obeyed us when we commanded them in Your name. And Jesus replied, while You were ministering, I watched Satan topple until he fell suddenly from heaven like lightning to the ground. Now you understand that I have imparted to you all my authority to trample over His kingdom. You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in this authority. It's not about Jesus being a catchphrase at the end of a prayer. It's about these people, when they went out in the name of Jesus, they knew that they were positioned in Him. They were speaking that His power is what's flowing through their mouths, right? When I was in Uganda this last time, and Wilbur was spending time with me doing ministry, and we were sitting with some different guys, and you know, the Holy Spirit was guiding me to, like, one instance, going back into a memory with a young guy, and seeing Jesus there, and then other times there were spiritual things that we were walking through and guiding people into having spiritual authority over that and declaring, like, I'm done with this, right? You have no more power and authority over me because I'm His. I'm Christ, right? And so I remember afterwards, Wilbur and I were processing as we were walking to get a taxi, and he said, whoa. He's like, that was really, like, intense. I said, okay, so talk to me about it. What were you feeling? He's like, honestly, like, I felt afraid in moments. Like, it just felt strange. He's like, I had no idea, like, what to do. And I was thinking about, like, how often as believers that we settle in fear, and so we back down from really standing in the authority that He's given us, right? And so I remember, you know, I was talking to Wilbur, and he's like, do you feel nervous? And when I first started doing ministry years ago and really standing in authority, I did. You know, in this beginning time, it's not like everything, like, right away was like, oh my God, you know, I've got this because I know who He is. Like, it was this, like, stepping out, okay, God, I need You to show up. Okay, God, I need You to show up. I need You to show up. And He did. But through that, learning who I am, like, I don't fear when there is demonic influence or spiritual things that are happening, if there's a darkness on a person, like, I don't fear that. I really don't. Like, when I stand there and I'm praying for somebody, I really don't fear. Sometimes I'm like, I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, I'm not know exactly what to do, but I don't fear, like, the enemy, right? I don't fear Satan, like, what he's going to do, like, to me or to that person. I'm like, okay, God, I don't know what to do in this situation, so I need You to guide this. But it's amazing how He shows up. But just talking about, like, this, while you were ministering, I watched Satan topple until he fell suddenly from heaven like lightning to the ground. Now you understand that I have imparted to you all my authority to trample over His kingdom. You will trample over every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in this authority. It's not that we spend all of our time focusing on Satan and the enemy, but there are times that our battle is not flesh and blood. It's not the people that are here on this planet. It's the enemy who's trying to kill, steal, and destroy. And when we know who we are and we stand up against that, He can have nothing. He has no power, no authority. He can do nothing to us. And you know, I say this to people, and I said this to the guys in the rehab as I was talking to them. And I said, there are a third of the population declare that they are Christians. And if they all those people who said Jesus is my Lord, knew the power and authority, that's almost 3 billion people, 2.5 billion people, right? And growing. If every believer knew who they were and stood in that, this world would be a different place. It would not be the same, right? We would be infiltrating everywhere that we went with his peace, his joy, and with authority. And where we go, light has to shine. Darkness has to flee, you know? And so thinking about this, I was just thinking about, you know, reading the scripture, like the name of Jesus. It's not just a name, it's who he is. The name and him, they're synonymous, right? And so being aware of that, as we pray, as we declare, as we speak out things, as we make ourselves available, God moves. I was listening to, because sometimes when I'm like, okay, God, you want me to teach on this, and usually it's Sunday mornings when I'm kind of putting thoughts together, or coming up with the idea at all. And so sitting, and I was like, okay, the power and authority of Jesus. And so I just searched up a message by Bill Johnson, and he was talking about the boat and how they, you know, the storm was coming, and Jesus, you know, Jesus wakes up, and I mean, they're praying, and finally Jesus wakes up, and he rebukes the storm and calms, and he says, ye of little faith. And it was cool because what Bill Johnson was bringing out is he said that God answering prayers for Bill used to be the idea of like that was the ultimate goal, like our prayers being answered, right? And he said, prayers being answered are awesome, but God doesn't always want to just answer prayers. He wants to do things through us for those to be fulfilled, right? He wants to impart and have us walk in power and authority. If it's just us saying, okay, do this, and he's doing it, he's already given us power and authority to walk in that. And so Jesus is like, ye of little faith, they had the power and authority to rebuke that storm in that moment, but they didn't know who they were, right? And so sometimes we're walking just in our lives in fear, in desperation, in different anxiety, in rage, all of those things. And we let these spiritual influences come over us, but we have power and authority to tell those to leave. We don't have to be under the weight of the enemy, but we often do. We often settle there. Even believers who have been walking for a long time, even me, you know, over the last year, like I found myself like succumbing, like, okay, you know, feeling myself backing down. Like, wait a minute, I know who I am. I know where I stand. What is that going to look like today? How am I going to walk in that? And Bill Johnson was just talking about like the peace. When God gives us true peace in our hearts, and peace is wholeness. So when God gives us wholeness in our hearts and we walk in that wholeness, we walk in that peace and we bring that into situations, regardless if things are happening around us, we don't have to be influenced by it. We might feel that it's happening, but we don't have to be influenced by it. And I remember just, you know, recently, you know, like we were on a road trip and our car was like great. We were doing awesome. You know, and the other car had some like tension. And when we all kind of got together, the two cars, like I could feel like something was off, and you know, like I let it change my disposition, and I succumbed to that, right? And I shouldn't have in that moment, right? Knowing who I am and knowing the peace that I carry, we should be able to affect those things and bring the peace into other people's lives. I wanted to look at another scripture. Is this connecting? Is this making sense? Acts 4:30. And I say this a lot, but for me, my journey and just what's going on in my life and what God's dealing with me and me being vulnerable is one of the, I don't know, the best ways for me to explain how I'm getting to know God better. And so I've said this before, it's not about me being an expert on these things, it's the journey that I feel like he's revealing things to me through the journey and what I have to, you know, to share with you. But yesterday, this last weekend, like I was thinking about like, okay, friends, like what friends, like I have friends, but like, I was starting to like succumb to this idea of like loneliness and just being like, okay, you know, like God, like, I don't know how to explain it. I don't know if you guys do this sometimes, but you start to allow these lies to come in to say, you really are kind of alone. Like people like want to hang out with you, but not really, you know? And like, that was kind of like my Friday. And so Saturday, you know, waking up and Nick Hayes from California just messaged me. He's like, hey, I don't know exactly like when you have like time and stuff. I was thinking about calling you, like, hey, like, let's set up a time. And just the fact that he would send me a message, like, just meant a lot, right? Because sometimes, you know, that doesn't happen a lot in life, you know, like people don't really reach out, you know, and I've come to this place before of feeling like, oh, woe is me. And it's like, well, also, if I want that type of community, then I'm going to step out and create it. And so it was just like this reminder of like, oh my gosh, you know, like God's like, I hear you. I hear your heart. And there are people who love you, you know, like, and I wasn't like entertaining these thoughts and going into depression. So that's not what was happening. But, you know, I started to have these like doubts of like what, like community and like people's relationships. And so I just started saying, I was like, okay, God, what do you want to talk to me about today? And I said, okay, Nick messaged me. Are the people that you want me to contact? And I just chose to make myself available. And they were just like, it felt like different people's names started coming to my head. And I started sending messages to people. And one person, I sent a message and they were like, they're like, oh my gosh, like that's the word that my mother has had for me for the last 2 weeks. It's like, awesome. You know, somebody else was like, I've been trying to like step into that. Thank you. That's a great reminder. You know, and like these different things. And it was where they were. And I wasn't like, felt like these huge revelations, just like, okay, names were popping into my head. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to message people. I'm going to choose to step into relationship and combat the lie that I'm alone, right? Because like stepping into that relationship and even just sending little messages, that's me saying, screw you, Satan. You know, like you don't have power over my thoughts. Like I am creating community in my life and I'm going to continue to push into that, regardless if people are in California, if people are in, you know, Minnesota, all these different things. And so I set different appointments with people to talk. And I talked with a dear friend from Minnesota this morning, and Monday I'm going to talk with somebody who's in Vermont. And, you know, the other day I was talking to somebody from Uganda, you know, and just like, I'm like, I'm going to step into that. And we can always isolate ourselves. We can always feel like, oh, you know, like, and believe these lies. But when we know who we are, and we're able to stop and allow the Holy Spirit to confront us in that, like, that's not truth. Here's truth, so what are you going to do with that truth? How are you going to step it out with that power and authority? And that's just a simple example, but it's what I was working through this weekend. So the sun gets really intense right here, so every once in a while I just get a little bit like this, like, it's not like this, it's not a heat flash, it's just this constant heat, you know, it's just like, is there? Okay.
Did you always close the curtain?
No, it's broken. Control. It's broken. I mean, I could move it to that chair, you know, but this is close to the table. Huh? I know. It's just, there's no real answer, you know. It's so difficult. Okay. Woe is me. Okay, so verse. Rebuke the sun. I love the sun, though. Okay, so Acts 4, verse 30 says, stretch out your hand of power through us to heal, and to move in signs and wonders by the name of your holy son, Jesus. You know, so they're asking God, stretch out your hand of power through us to heal, and to move in signs and wonders by the name of your holy son, Jesus. We get to pray in his name. We get to stand in the power and authority that he says that we have because we're his. And I think that's so amazing. And my desire is to keep pushing all of us, pushing myself to not settle. And I talked about this, I think, before I went to Uganda. And I'm going to keep talking about it because I think we need to start finding those ways to stand in that authority more and more and start sharing with the ways that we are. Hey, this, I was powerful in him today. You know, I talk to my students in my class, and though I can't talk about God, I have a poster up on the board that says, I am powerful. I choose to use my power for good. And all my kids sign at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. And then if there's problems, I go back. I'm like, are you choosing to use your power for good? Because you're a powerful person. What are you using it for? You know, we have the power to hurt people, right? And so we go on like, you have a choice. You have a choice how you impact people. It's either respect or not. And so we talk about that. But that's for us too. Mm-hmm. We are powerful people. We are not small. And when we say yes to him, he says that we're more than conquerors because we're in him. So what does that look like? Even when I feel tired, what does that look like? Even when I feel alone, what does that look like? Even when I can't see all this like great things happening, what does that look like? One of the conversations I was having, I was like, yeah, God's so good. Like somebody was telling me about this new job that they're in, all this stuff. I'm like, oh, awesome. God's good. And I'm like, do I only say God's good when good things seem to be happening? Right? Like only when things feel good am I saying that God's good? You know, because like he's powerful and he's good. And he really, like, I know that catchphrase the churches use, like, God is good all the time, right? I mean, but he is. I don't want to have a small version of God saying he is good only when I can see it. He's good all the time. And so how am I going to step into that goodness, right? How am I going to step into that power and authority and bring him in situations, to bring him in relationships, to see people in love, you know, to walk out in power and authority and to bring kingdom. And I still find myself feeling uncomfortable in certain situations. Like, you know, to pray, I'm like, oh, gosh, I'm out in public and just right now just to start praying for somebody, you know, like, and I still have those thoughts and I still shrink back. I'm like, why? But I do. I'm not, you know, I'm not this, like, go out on the streets and like, woo, you know, let's go, you know, like, that's not, but I want to step into that, not doing that, woo, you know, like, that's not me. It's never going to be me, but I should try it, just like this. That's ministry. Okay. But it's interesting. So Joel, one of my brothers in Uganda, he's on cruise ships, and he's been feeling like really isolated there. And the band that he's working with is just really hard, and they've just said some really hurtful things to him, and he's thought about quitting, and he's only been there for a month. But God has brought like people who are Christians to him on the cruise ship, which has been amazing. And so one person comes up to him, this older lady. I don't know if she was, I'm not sure how old she was, but he said, well, maybe.
very small.
72, 73. This lady comes up to him and just says, she's like, this might sound funny after he was performing, but I just feel this really good energy from you. And he's like, okay. He's like, and she's like, you know, I don't know, it's just something like, I feel God. And he's like, well, I love God. She's like, that's it. She's like, I feel that on you. She's like, I'm going to come back to your next show. Like, I knew there was something different about you. And there was another family that came. And just that recognition that God's like, I see you. Right? I see the goodness that's in you. And another family was there. And it was like a father and mother and like son and stuff. And he just stayed afterwards the show. And it was late at night. He just started talking to them. And he said, something's different about you. Like, everybody else just left. The rest of the band just went back to their, you know, but you stayed here. You want to talk. He's like, I like getting to know people. And they started talking and realizing that they're all Christians. And one of the guys was like, hey, can I pray for you? And so just right there. And they aren't like a concert hall where everybody like leaves. They're like in the walkway. And he said they stood there and they prayed for like 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. And there was just this like quiet in the hall and like people like this hush. But it was more out of respect, not mocking. But I was just like, you know, as I'm encouraging him to like step out more, I'm like, that would have been uncomfortable for me, and I hate that, you know, like, I don't want that, and so, like, this stuff that I'm telling to you is, like, it's me, like, I want to push more into, like, how do we bring kingdom, not in the, like, let's beat people up, right, like, bang, like, hey, let's, like, you know, like, you know, I don't know, but it's out there, but I think that for me, honestly, like, I've been afraid to be associated with that I feel like I've shrunk back and not been who God created me to be. Does that make sense? Like, I don't want to be associated with people who do it really out of, like, hate or being like, oh, you're just one of those Christians that are just trying to change us all. You know, like, that kind of idea. And I'm like, how in love? But anyway, all of this stuff is challenging me. Like, and when Joel said that, I was just like, gosh, that's awesome. They're just right there. You just start praying, right? And kingdom coming. The thing is, like, we are in Christ. We have power and authority. And when we bring his peace into situations, the atmosphere changes. It just does. Mm-hmm. People's lives are better when we bring kingdom into situations. Mm-hmm. It impacts, and people are going to be drawn to light, right? So anyway, all of this was me feeling challenged, so I'm sharing that with you. And I want to see that just more, and I want to understand that the enemy has nothing on us. Really, the enemy has nothing on us. Mm-hmm. There's nothing we need to be afraid of. The enemy can't do anything to us when we know who we are in him and the peace that we walk in. And so I want to just declare that and pray that over us and as a community. And as we push more into that, a lot of people are like, oh, this bad thing happened, you know, and or this bad thing happened, and this bad thing happened, so, like, I must be headed in the right direction. And so, and maybe there's things that are associated with that. I'm not saying, like, I know there are things that are happening spiritually, but I think sometimes we're just looking for the bad You know, and so then we're trying to like, oh, I guess the bad is because I'm doing what's right. Or, you know, like all this different stuff. And sometimes things in life just are bad. You know, like
last year.
Right. Sometimes things are just hard. Like, I don't want to give Satan glory for all the bad things that are happening and saying like, whoa, he did it again. Whoa, he got me again. Whoa, my car's broken down because of him. Like, I don't want to give him space. Right? I really don't. I don't want to give him space to give him glory. Like, I want to declare that he has no power and authority, and I want to walk in that. And when bad things happen, I want to move on, but I don't want to be like, oh my gosh, Satan's out to get me right now. Look what he just did. You know? And regardless if some of that stuff is spiritual stuff that's happening, I don't want to give him the limelight. I don't want to give him any recognition for that stuff. I want to declare that he has no authority. I want to silence him and move on, you know, with life and love. So,
can I challenge the thought
yes.
that bad things with thinking differently, saying challenging things.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, I don't know, if like fleas, we talked about the fleas. Mm-hmm. Things are bad, right? Mm-hmm. They have a purpose. God did make things with a purpose, and sometimes they serve their purpose in really obscure ways, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And sometimes, because it's a challenge to us, we've learned that we believe that challenges are bad. Mm-hmm. Except for mm-hmm. we choose challenges like exercise. We choose hard jobs. The stuff that we choose is probably sometimes more challenging than some of the stuff that we call bad, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe just the challenge to even, like, see things in a different light. And I get it, a pop tire can just be a pain in the rear, you know? But sometimes what happens with that is situation can be really beautiful if we have our eyes open, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. I just want to pray first and then see what you guys want to chat about. But God, we thank you for the reality that we are in you. Jesus, that we're in you, that we have power and authority because you're in us. And God, we just declare and we submit to you, saying that we're yours. And God, we're still learning about our identity, who we are, who you created us to be, how to stand in that. How to be powerful for your kingdom. And God, I just pray that you would help us to remove any religious stuff that's not a part of that, not a part of your plan, but just to walk in truth, in wholeness, in freedom to be yours, to love people well, and things that keep us back, God, things that keep me back, would you free me from that? Fear of how people think about me, Lord, and what they're going to say, or all those different things. God, that you would give me more boldness to just live it purely, simply, but with power and authority, to bring you into situations. And so I thank you that our community has the power to impact and change lives in you, because you're amazing and that's the desire of your heart. And that, God, we have prayers that we want you to answer. And I do believe that some of those are you saying, go, do it, declare it. Speak it out. Use your power and authority because you've given us that, God. Help us to live it. Help us to live it every single day. And the places that we seem to shrink back, help us to be aware of that so that we can step forward. Help us to challenge each other so we can step forward in our workplaces, in our friendships, in our families, God. People that we meet on the streets, people that we meet in restaurants, God. Hanging out at the park, wherever it is. God, that we would see people the way you see them, that we would step into people's lives, even for a glimpse, even for a second, even for just a moment, and to bring you, to bring your truth, to bring your goodness. So thank you for who you are and who you say that we are. And God, I thank you that we are more than conquerors and that the enemy has no power and authority over us. Remind us of that daily. Thank you, Father. So we settle ourselves in you. We rest in you. And we say, God, you be our strength. You be our power. You be the authority. And God, that you would flow it through us to heal people, to set people free. Thank you, God. Amen.